The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is this?
I started to question myself if I was watching Lucha Underground and I had accidentally flipped over to Cinemax.
Not a whole lot of faces shown as far when it comes to Brenda, so.
Yeah.
You're spot on there, buddy.
This is the house that AJ Styles built.
You know, like Nakamura, he's just such a great star. It doesn't matter what you do with him, people are going to cheer for him.
Did you feel the gloriousness? Did you feel it? Bobby Roode did his job.
This is insane how great they are.
Well, I think the authors of Pain are young prodigies.
That's how good we are.
Representing Bullet Club. This is what we do.
Super Kid Putty! Bam!
I have to say that Asuka has been an incredible champion. I mean, she's defended this championship for 523 days. I honestly don't think we will ever see another champion like her. Because in this day and age, with how incredible the competitors are, I just don't see that happening again. She will go down in history. And she did a wonderful job of representing the brand of NXT.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the max.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Deezer.
Welcome, everyone, to Wrestling to the Max, episode 263, part 2. And, you know, make sure you guys get that number right because I almost forgot it. I was thinking in my head, wait a minute, is that the right episode number? Yeah, I think it is. So there you go, guys. Well, we are excited tonight because we are brought to you by W2Mnet.com and, of course, 411Mania.com, along with LastWordOnProWrestling.com. All those sites support us. They give us all the time that we need to let you guys know all about the world of wrestling and give you that platform. We appreciate all three. Once again, go search out Wrestling to the Max wherever you get your podcast from, though, because trust me, once you subscribe, you rate and review, you will get the best content you can handle. I know that for a fact because not only am I part of the show with two amazing guys, but I also get a chance to interact with you guys when you do that. And we are really happy with the results we've gotten. But not only that, we want your results. So please go do all that today and give us some of that feedback. I love it. I love hearing from you guys. Also, make sure you go check us out on YouTube. That's another place that, you know, we'd love to be on. And, of course, subscribe there as well because that's also a great community. You know, you always got the haters and lovers over there on YouTube. So that's another place that's fun to interact with people. Yeah, and of course, you know, once again, I am your host, Gary Vaughn. Along with me is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And tonight, Sean Garmer is not with us, and there is a big reason, and that reason is because Sean does reside in Florida, and they are facing some big stuff coming up here pretty soon. Hurricane Ima is heading their way, and they're trying their best to be prepared, and tonight Sean is doing his due diligence, really, to pack and to be ready. From what we were hearing earlier today, he's planning on riding it out. Now, that may be changing. He's yet to really inform Paul or I on if he is going to evacuate or if he is really going to do what he said earlier today. But what we do know is we want him to be safe. And, you know, honestly, before we got on the air, we were talking to Sean via text, and he would tell us he was packing. And when he said to go ahead and do the show without him because he's doing it, I didn't argue with him because I want him to be safe. I want him to get that stuff taken care of and not think about this wrestling show. It's as much as we love it, I need my friend to be safe and be careful and make sure he's ready to go. So I hope that he's safe along with all of you out there. If you're listening in Florida, we definitely thank you. But, man, we want you guys to be protected. If they say evacuate, please get out of there. Take it serious. Don't sit around and just think, oh, well, you know, no. just go. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, want to be mindful of our good friend Eric, who's also a part of the W2M Network family. He not only does Point of Viewer on the site, but he also, you know, does a football show with Sean and I, and he's in Jacksonville along with my sister. My sister lives there as well, so I'm still, you know, kind of waiting on my sister to kind of tell me what's going on. So all these people in Florida are trying to prepare for this hurricane. That's why Sean's not on with us, just to give you guys a little heads up. But Paul, it's amazing, man. I'm watching the news, and there's three hurricanes out there, and I'm like, man, I don't know if I've seen this many. I'm afraid the Sharknado is going to hit us one of these days.
I would not be shocked, honestly, especially because Harvey was shooting off tornadoes, apparently. So, I mean, if there was ever a time for Sharknado to happen, that would have been it. But the good news so far is that Irma isn't a Category 5 like Harvey was, and it's not going as slow. So the damage might be less, but it's still super dangerous, and if you are in the area, get out. Really, Gary, I was just sad that Puerto Rico might not be there anymore. We would never get to live the hashtag.
Oh, I know, man. Oh, that's
so... That'd be sad.
Very sad. Honestly, it's sad to see some of those islands. I saw a few of them today on the news, and I was like, good Lord, what happened? And it really made me kind of depressed, too, because a lot of the places that got hit by Irma so far are places that I went on my honeymoon with my wife and really enjoyed, and to think that, man, they're not really like that anymore because destruction. So, yeah, Puerto Rico, boy, all those places I love, and I just, you know, hope those people are okay.
Absolutely.
Safe and all that stuff, because this is a big deal, and we joke about it, but I mean, this is people's lives and their, you know, homes and all that. But, you know, nonetheless, my in-laws are going to be heading that way for their cruise, and the same time I will be leaving, and I feel for them because I'm going to the Western Caribbean, they're going to the Eastern, where all this took place. So I hope their vacation is good, because, man, I was really praying the wine wouldn't be destroyed by this. So,
do you still have a dock to leave from right now, or is it underwater?
I don't know yet. I have not heard. As of right now, Carnival Cruise has not emailed me saying, ha ha, you can't go. So, as of right now, I am still hashtagging Jamaica. So hopefully I will be going. If I hear anything else, I will let everyone here know. But yeah, Galveston is where we'll be leaving out of. I'm not sure of the situation down there in Galveston, Texas, what's going on. So, but this is, of course, Weather to the Max. So naturally, we hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we'll get you informed on the precipitation in the Northeast. No, I'm kidding. But no, all this stuff is relevant. If you live in the UK, if you live in South Africa, you guys are tired of us talking about Caribbean in the U.S. I get it. I'm sorry. Just a little bit of insight what's going on with this. We had to fill you guys in on what's going on. But nonetheless, I mean – I kind of alluded to this before we jump into the rest of the stuff tonight, and I'm just going to prep the show for you guys. We are talking a lot about some great wrestling news. We've got some interesting information about Global Force Wrestling, and let's be honest, TNA in general, because Jeff Jarrett's got a lot of stuff going on right now. There's some drama that could be taking place, and GFW has some good and bad news for you guys. So we're going to share that. Plus, we'll be talking a little WWE and some of the news coming out of there. We'll also be talking about some injuries taking place. So we want you guys to be tuning in for that for sure, because this is going to affect the future of what's going on in the world of wrestling. Also, we'll be talking Lucha Underground and some Impact Wrestling that just took place this evening. So trust me, a great show, plus crowning a superstar of the week. All that's going to be exciting. Before we get into that, though, Paul, I alluded to everybody in the NXT review that we did earlier tonight that I was a little flustered, that I was having some problems talking at times because something happened to me this week. And I'll tell you right now what it was. Long story short, Tuesday night, didn't know really what to do about this situation, but my dog wasn't feeling great, my dog Bentley, and he wasn't throwing up everywhere, wasn't doing all this bad stuff, bleeding on the floor, nothing like that. He was just kind of acting, you know, normal, but he was just kind of moping around. Didn't think anything of it. Dogs do that sometimes, just like human beings. They don't feel good all the time. But nonetheless, he did pass away on me on Tuesday night. And sadly, my daughter found him, which is even terrifying because she's 4 years old and don't want a 4-year-old to see all that. But,
right.
You know. But anyway, that was a tough situation for me. So I really haven't slept a lot, guys. And that's, you know, part of the reason why maybe I'm kind of all over the place tonight. But, you know, dealing with that stress and, of course, you know, having a lot of work and some other things I've got going on in my personal life, you know, working on some projects. Not a lot of sleep going on over here. But what I do know is that, you know, I dealt with this family tragedy and are still dealing with it, to be honest with you. But, you know, I know he was peaceful when he passed because he was laying comfortably and all that stuff. I just, you know, it kind of breaks your heart. You know, you hold on to that because he was a big part of our family. So best wishes to you, Bentley, in heaven. I know all dogs do go to heaven because Disney made a movie about it.
Disney would never lie to us, Gary. That's yeah. So true.
So, I mean, thank you, Disney, for giving me that comfort in my heart.
Yeah.
Without you, I would not have anything, right? So,
exactly.
No. But that's what's going on with me, Paul. Just to be honest, so if I start saying that, maybe it's Bobby Lashley is the Impact Champion. You know why? Because he's not the Impact Champion. I'm just
nobody's the Impact Champion right now.
I know.
How long did you have him, man? I'm really sorry to hear about all this.
I think he was around 8 to 9 years old. I had to look at his paperwork. I just really never think about looking at his paperwork to see how old he is. I just known him, had him for about that long, and he was still pretty darn healthy. That's what this was a big shock for me. So it could have been anything. I'm going to go ahead and say it was a heart attack, though. I think his heart was kind of maybe affecting him that day, and we just didn't know it. And it just probably gave out. So, you know, it's one of those things you deal with having pets. I mean, don't
know. True.
So, I
appreciate it. We have birds in my house, and we've lost two within the last couple of years. So we went from 4 to 2, and I don't know. Like, it gets quieter. They definitely leave a hole that you never expect to really miss because you've had them for so long. You know, they just kind of become a part of your family, and that really sucks, man. I'm sorry to hear that. I know. I'm not a giant dog person. I'm more of a cat person, but I mean, dogs are still really cool and just sucks. Yeah. There's nothing loyaler than a dog.
Yeah, and that's the truth. And I still got one, you know, and he's been looking for his buddy. So that's been hard on all of us, I think, too. So at least my daughter has, you know, someone else that she can play with and not be like, Daddy, where's my new dog?
Yeah.
So
I'm sure that will be coming sometime soon, though.
Oh, it was already apparent that night that she was ready for the next one.
So,
sorry, baby. We're not doing that. So.
We got to wait a while.
Yeah, I don't think I can handle this. But anyway, well, you know, I just wanted to share that with you. And I know, Paul, you've had a long week, too, and you've had a lot of stuff going on. And I know one of those reasons is because you did an awesome time and an awesome job over there at the Mae Young Classic and reviewing that show. And, of course, you covered SmackDown Live. You also did the 205 Live. So you've had a lot of stuff on your plate, man. Much appreciated, first of all. But second
absolutely.
Of all, man, you've had some long nights of lately.
Yeah, Tuesday was a very long night for me. A very enjoyable night, though. Me and Harry and Patrick had a great time doing the Mae Young Classic stuff, which you can find everywhere. All of our podcasts already are, of course, at iTunes, Apple, whatever they're calling it these days, plus our site, W2Mnet.com, and everywhere else. And, of course, I did SmackDown 205 Live since Sean was doing the football preview for you, or with you, for Football to the Max, which is also up, which I'm sure was just a wonderfully great time, too. And man, what a debut the season got off to tonight, though, with New England falling short against Kansas City. I know you guys are going to maybe do F2M later, but that's...
Yeah, just depending on this hurricane, right?
Yeah.
What a game, right, Paul?
Yeah,
I mean,
unbelievable game.
And to be honest with you, me and you covered NXT at the end of that game, so kind of had to watch a little bit of it while we were doing the NXT review, but that's still fine. But yeah, it was close towards the end, and in the fourth quarter, Kansas City took control and found their way to victory. And that's one of those games that I never expected to see, but hopefully this leads to great things this year. And I'm not hating on the Patriots, people. It's not about that. So if you're a Patriots fan, I'm definitely not bashing you guys. In fact, I understand how it feels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, one of those things that just kind of surprises you, because I felt like the Patriots defense was playing really good at the beginning of that game. And I thought, man, they're just going to do what the Patriots do and find a way to win. And it didn't happen. So what a bang-up way to start the season, because it's not parody. It's a parody in a different form. It's not the same stuff we get every year with New England, Pittsburgh, you know, all these other teams that are used to winning. Kansas City winning, it changes things up. And I'm just, you know, kind of cool. I'm glad to see a little change up in the league sometimes. So let's see if the rest of the year starts out that way. I'd love to see week one and see if we get some other big upsets.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait. Sunday and Monday night, going to be some great games on there too. And yeah, I mean, we talk about the Hurricane, you know, Tampa Bay and I forget who they had to play this week, but that game got postponed because they both had the same bye week, so they're just going to play him 16 weeks straight in a row, which is completely unfair if you ask me.
Oh, it's yeah, both those teams I feel bad for. I just, you know, we were talking about last episode on Monday night about the poor wrestlers having to go and wrestle Raw and SmackDown on holiday. That's kind of the way I feel about the Tampa Bay Bucks and Dolphins. Like, hey, you get your bye week early, and sorry, you're going to be playing 16 straight.
Straight, so. Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, not a fan of that idea.
No, I think it was pretty bad myself. Just move it somewhere else. Play it at the Sooners place or something. You know, play it in a college field if you have to. Just give those guys a break. But anyway, we'll save a lot of that talk for the football show. Of course, we'll be letting you guys know. Just pay attention to, the football to the max stream, and we'll, of course, fill you in on everything else that takes place in the world of football. But yeah, Paul, I think it's time for us to jump into some of this wrestling news we got for everybody. We've got some interesting topics to talk about, so let's dive in.
Let's do it. Well, if the sound ever wants to play, there we go.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hit.
All right, go for it, buddy.
Okay, well, let's start this thing out with some happy news. We have to send out some congrats to Melissa Santos and Brian Cage. That's right. They are pregnant, guys, and that's something that's really cool, and really huge congrats to those two. This is something that I really was not aware of. I didn't even know they were together, Paul. I guess I don't really pay attention to relationships that closely, but that's cool, man.
I'm really excited for him, too. I've had the privilege to meet Brian Cage very, very informally, but he was always very nice, and he does a lot of Wrestle Circus work, and he was a big part of their show when they came to Dallas the one time they ventured outside of Austin, and Melissa Santos was also there, who was also very nice. And it's just hard to picture that tiny lady pushing out Brian Cage's son or daughter. Like, he is not a small gentleman.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think of too. Like, oh boy, like, and you know, of course, you know, he is a machine, right? So what kind of hybrid are we gonna get, you know?
Well, I thought you were about to go a completely different direction.
Well, when you started talking about little lady and then this big gentleman, I started to say, I have other questions. Some very big questions, hopefully. But anyway, I'll leave their personal life to their personal life. I'm really happy for them. And you always get to hear, you know, some of these bad things coming out of the personal lives of wrestlers. And it's so cool to hear positive things, you know, like when we heard about, you know, Dean and, you know, his current wife getting married. I'm blanking on her name because I'm
Renee
so nutty. Renee Young, duh. Yeah, I mean, they got married, and that was kind of a cool thing, and you're really happy for them. So this is some good stuff coming out, you know, and anytime a child is going to be brought into the world, everyone's, you know, pretty happy, you know, about that. So, you know, well, let's talk about something I'm kind of curious if everyone else is interested in and very happy about. We have been, you know, talking about GVFW. We announced last show that they are going to be doing their own network. Well, it is confirmed. And that is something that will be taking place. But they also made a deal with Pluto, this channel called Pluto. It's an online channel. And they'll be having their own channel, really. They'll be doing all their stuff, whatever they want to put on there. It'll all be available streaming live whenever they want to stream, whatever they want to stream. So that is something that's kind of fun, but it's also interesting that they're going to have a subscription service and do that as well. I'm like, to myself, is that really smart? You're putting double the content out there. Wouldn't you want just to have the subscription service?
Yeah, so they haven't listed content or anything yet, so Global Force Wrestling subscription service, which is going to be called Global Force Network, is apparently a go, and that's their traditional subscribe for this amount of money, have 24/7 access to whatever they're going to have on there, so on and so forth. The Pluto TV thing, though, is interesting. I don't know like how recent the episodes of Impact are going to be on there, because that's just what it's going to be called, the Impact Wrestling Channel. So I assume that that is all that's going to be on there. Maybe Explosion, right? But I don't know. It's very, very interesting. And I would assume you're going to want to pay whatever they're going to ask you for the pay-per-views, and maybe they have a better deal with Pop TV to where they can put up their actual episodes up much sooner than WWE can in their TV deal. But I don't know. It's a very interesting time for them as far as internet coverage goes for their product.
Yeah, and that's, you know, something that, you know, you kind of look at, and once again, you kind of judge it and say, well, you could put all these other subgenre shows that they have out there that you don't see all the time, things that they kind of put on YouTube or, you know, in other places on their website. But really, what do you want to make, you know, special for people to pay for? What kind of content is going to be worthy of whatever $5.99 a month or whatever you're putting out there? And if you're putting stuff on Pluto already, are you going to tell people, well, the stuff we're putting on Pluto is kind of really just the garbage that we don't want to make you pay for?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you actually putting valuable content on there to where people are saying, well, why go pay $5.99 a month? Because you guys are already showing me all this other stuff on this free channel online. Why would I pay? You know? So I think it's kind of interesting to me that you would do that. I don't maybe get the full gist of that. Once again, though, we don't have everything in front of us. We have no idea what's going to be on either. So really judging it at this point is kind of moot.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm making a knee-jerk reaction based on nothing. But, you know, it just seems a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I guess this is a good direction, Paul. If in nothing else, they're at least working towards bigger goals, and that's what they should be doing. You know, for a long time, they were just happy to be on TV. And it seems with Anthem and with Jeff Jarrett's involvement, they really have big dreams, and they're really working towards them. They're not letting anybody stop them, right? I mean, they're just going ahead and doing these things, even though I think people like myself would say, guys, let's be on a better channel on regular TV with your regular show before we start making all these other things happen. But they're doing it anyway, and hey, kudos to them for at least having confidence in what they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think this was always at least part of the original plan with Global Force Wrestling, was to either find a TV deal and then immediately jump into this market where they could maybe do what I was talking about last time, where they would stream their partner promotion stuff that way, and then they could sort of share profits that way, or however they want to go about doing it. But this, to me, always seemed like the goal for Global Force Wrestling, was getting the online presence, at least from the original inception. Obviously, that has changed since the stuff that went down with Impact Wrestling and what used to be known as TNA now.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing. I mean, we're happy about this news. But the problem is with this happy news for Global Force Wrestling fans, and which if you're a Global Force fan, I mean, you've had to kind of hang on a few things because you've got a lot of bad news in the past. Well, now I am sorry to tell you that the news you're getting now, it could break all that stuff I just talked about apart in a million pieces. And here we go. So let's start out by talking about one of the bigger things. We just found out this past week that Jeff Jarrett is on a leave of absence from Global Force, from Impact Wrestling. And what I mean by that is it's under the Anthem umbrella that he is taking this absence.
Mm-hmm.
As we sit here today, we're getting rumors that he has been abusing alcohol, that he has been acting a little erratic with the higher-ups at Anthem, which is causing a lot of issues. And that is never good, right? For a partnership, for people to be working together, it is never good to abuse alcohol. And second of all, not be with all your faculties when you have meetings or when you talk to them and really have serious discussions about business. So, nonetheless, this is bringing up a lot of concerns. And one of the other bigger concerns you have, Paul, is that Jeff Jarrett still owns the name and technically the promotion called Global Force Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
He owns that. TNA and GFW have not still completely merged. That is not a done deal. So this brings up a lot of those questions, because now they've already started referring to themselves on TV as Global Force Wrestling. The title is the Global Force Wrestling title. You know, I was making the, you know, the reference to it being the Impact Championship. You're right, Paul. That is no longer the Impact Championship. That is the Global Force Championship. And that's fine and dandy if the guy behind the name is still a part of Anthem. Mm-hmm. And now that is in limbo. And, you know, it's also being, you know, reported some other things, like, you know, for the fact that, you know, they're not sure about what Anthem wants to do. Anthem apparently is looking into selling the whole brand of Impact. They just want to be done with this because we've had the Alberto Del Rio situation, or Alberto Patron, if you know him for Global Force. And of course, you know, all the stuff now with Jeff Jarrett. And this has just been a problem. They've had all these lawsuits that they've inherited because of what, you know, Dixie and the rest of her group did. And now you've got the, I'm sure, this lawsuit, you know, between them and the Hardys and all that has been entailed with that.
Yeah.
It just seems like this is a giant whirlwind. A lot of problems stemming from one big one and leading on to many more.
Mm-hmm. I guess this really just goes to show that the Band-Aid that they put on this wasn't exactly Band-Aid brand. maybe it's just some off-brand thing that they stuck on here. I don't know. And maybe Jeff Jarrett was a much, much bigger part of this partnership than we ever imagined, you know? Because him taking the leave of absence, and then it's indefinite, by the way, so there's no exact time frame on this or anything like that. So if Jarrett does decide to leave Anthem and all that and takes GFW with him, then Impact has to rebrand again, which Lord knows what that tells people. And then secondly, Anthem is looking to sell because they've lost so much money in this venture that they just want to cut ties and get out while the getting's still good. I mean, how much of a promotion is going to be left after this, right? I mean, your chief talent guy and head writer essentially is out of the picture now, and realistically one who brought a lot of the new changes around your product that have been exhibited in the last couple of months. And he was also supposed to apparently be facing Alberto El Patron coming into Bound for Glory this year. That's off the table now. There's nothing good in this at all, and if you're working for the company, I'm starting to worry about my job and if I'm going to be here to fill out the rest of this contract they just signed with Pop TV to keep airing their show for another year. Like, this is just awful, awful news.
It really is. And, you know, it just seems like this brand can never get away from the drama, right? They just can never find a way to escape it. No matter who's in charge or what's going down, there's always some problem, and it usually stems from the top and a lot of times to the bottom. And I just hate that for fans that love this promotion, that love a lot of the wrestlers. I mean, let's be honest. They've done a lot of positive things. They really, really have. You know, we were talking about this last year, I think, at this time, and we were talking about how they were going down to the toilet, that they were going to disband. There would no longer be any TNA Impact Wrestling, right? It'd be gone. Here we sit where now, it's not TNA, but it is still basically everything that was TNA, and they've added to it, and they've added different people from different promotions. They brought back a lot of the talent that, you know, was in the heyday of this mm-hmm. promotion. I mean, they've done so much to really build it back up, and I actually, to be honest with you, am pretty happy with a lot of the changes they made. I really felt like they've done their due diligence to make it to what it is today with a lot of hard work and a lot of, honestly, really intelligent thinking about things. Sure, not everything's perfect, but they're doing a lot of positive things. Now, the problem with this is a lot of those things are because of Jeff Jarrett. So you take away a lot of that, and now we're left with a shell of a company, and you just don't know what that will be. Yeah, I don't even know who's in charge, because depending on who they sell to, there could be a plethora of people. You may have someone buy it that doesn't know wrestling and tries it, or you may buy someone who knows wrestling who runs it in a completely different direction than, you know, Jeff Jarrett has, and it may ruin it completely. So there are those question marks, and I'm right with you. If you're working for this company right now, you got to start thinking, am I going to have a paycheck in a month? Mm-hmm. Am I going to have a paycheck in a year? You know, how long is this thing going to run? And what's going to be happening with, you know, me in general? Are they going to let me go before, you know, I'm ready to go? So there's all those questions, and I feel bad, and I'm a little concerned for Jeff Jarrett. If he is having problems with alcohol, that's kind of concerning, because, I mean, he spent a lot of time and a lot of money working on this project, and for him to be throwing it down the tube because of alcohol, that's a big concern, you mm-hmm. know? So
yeah, I think he's been to rehab before for an alcohol problem. I can't remember. But, I mean, this – I don't want to say it's super surprising, because Jeff Jarrett has had these quote-unquote erratic behavior problems before. It's just, like, it's a terrible time. And if Anthem's trying to sell, who's going to buy this place now? It's been through three or four different owners. They've never really been able to shake the identity they've established since, I mean, it really kind of fell on its butt in 2008, you could say. And where it was trying to compete with WWE and be like them so much that they can't do it because they don't have anybody around to really get them to that area, and nobody wants to watch a WWF Lite product when you have WWF around. So what's our WWE, excuse me. So, like, who buys this? Like, does Billy Corgan come in and buy them out anyways and just combine them with NWA? Or like, I mean, who's out there to buy this? A promotion with this many problems and all that. You know, I really do wonder if this is the actual time where we're going to say, well, TNA's dead, you know.
You bring up a lot of good points here, and that is a huge deal, because you could have a Billy Corgan or someone else like him who wants to buy it. But the problem is a lot of times there's got to be multiple investors, because this is not going to be cheap. Sure, it's not the biggest brand, but when Anthem sells it, Anthem is not going to want to lose money. In fact, they're going to try to recoup some of the money that they've lost. Mm-hmm. So they will probably try to sell it more than what they paid, and if they can't, they at least want to break even, and that's still a lot of money. And I don't know if Billy Corgan, you know, wants to spend that much money, or if anybody else does, and how are you going to convince a lot of other investors into buying a product that is yet to do anything as long as they've been on the air, on TV, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, if you're an investor, you look at the fact that, okay, they were on Spike TV at one time, and then, oh, well, they went to Destination America. Well, that's not as great, but it's not bad. And then, oh, Pop TV, what the heck is Pop TV? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the problem, is when you look at this in the big picture, it's not progressing, it's more like regressing. Mm-hmm. No matter how much, you know, lipstick you put on the pig, it's still the pig,
right?
And I think that's a big deal and a big problem for anyone who would invest. And you've got to either have a super fan like Billy Corgan, or someone, you know, who can talk people into buying ice in Alaska, you know. So I don't know. I those are big questions, you know. Maybe they could. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, someone who'd be good, they should just talk Jerry Jones into buying them. You
know? I might actually watch a promotion owned by Jerry Jones to see what happens.
Oh, I'm sure it'd be lots of drama, and I think he should hire Terrell Owens as the GM.
Oh, boy. What a show that would be.
Oh, yeah. It would be interesting. So, anyway. But, yeah, I mean, those are big questions. The one thing I do have to say about this whole thing, Paul, is, you know, Anthem has really came at this thing, and they tried to really push this thing as, oh, this is a top-notch promotion, we're doing all this stuff. And, in fact, they kind of stuck their nose up at people like the Hardys, right? I mean, they've really thumbed their nose at the people that didn't want to be a part of their promotion, and they didn't want to pay them. But once they walked out the door, they kind of thumbed their nose at them. And it also makes you wonder if Anthem's looking at it like, man, we probably should have not gone to these lawsuits, and we probably should just let these people go and do their thing and leave them alone. And mm-hmm. maybe they're paying that price now. Maybe they're realizing their mistakes a little too late.
Yeah, I mean, because originally when Anthem bought in, they bought in to try to save the promotion from dying, because they didn't want to lose its programming on its channel. The Fight Network, because it was doing so well for them in all the markets that they're in, and they didn't want to lose that. Well, now they're in, I would assume, probably several million dollars to not only finish all of the lawsuits they were in, but to maybe pay, you know, whatever back pay they maybe owed people, plus buying in, plus Lord knows what investments they made with Global Force Wrestling coming in and trying to change that around, plus, you know, TV production and Lord knows whatever else. I mean, apparently this has even led to the most recent tapings. They're using fewer people, and the people that were there, they didn't use as often because they didn't want to pay them as much for all the appearance fees, and then they just flew them back home. So, I mean, it's apparently a very, very real situation, something we'll be on top of, but it doesn't look good. Like, the Crows just, they've circled so many times, maybe they've never gone away, they just keep getting closer and closer, and nobody's noticing.
Yeah, I mean, all we know is this is not looking great, and we'll just have to follow the buzzards.
Ain't that the truth, buddy?
Yeah. Oh, boy. I'm sorry. I just had to say it. I had to throw it in there. Okay. Well, it's not like GFW's not already dealing with this, but now they also have another situation. That kind of sucks. And it may not be as important to Anthem as it is for this person, but Diamante, she has apparently torn her ACL and had to have surgery, and that'll take her out for the rest of the year, Paul, but that's a huge bummer.
Yeah, obviously a big part of the LAX faction and all that was happening there. Maybe not so big a deal for what's going on in story, but it definitely sucks for her. Obviously, this is sort of her big break on television and everything like that. Now she's got to sit out for, I would assume, much longer than the rest of the year. You tell your ACL and have to have surgery on it, you're usually out for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the truth. And, you know, once again, I mean, this is wrestling, and it's easy for people to move on, and the storylines go many ways. And, you know, who knows by the time she gets back if she's even going to be doing LAX or having to go do something else, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the big question. So, you should feel bad because I really felt like they were pushing her in a direction where she could possibly be the next Knockouts champion. You know,
yeah.
At least in the future. I'm not saying right away, but I mean, you know that they were going to start pushing her that direction. Mm-hmm. And now that's completely gone. And who knows if she's going to get that opportunity in the near future or not. So you got to feel bad for her. You really, really do. And you hate to hear this news. It's never a good thing when you're talking ACL injuries or anything of the sort, because it's something that really could change your entire career.
Right. So.
We're also getting some news about, you know, another person that's injured, and that's Kenny Omega. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Paul?
So Kenny has a tear in his left meniscus. I don't know if it's a full tear or a partial tear. Everything I found has just said it's a tear. So he is off of the Destruction Tour all the way up until his U.S. title defense at Destruction at Kobe on September 24th. So all the matches that he had been advertised in, he's being replaced by Tama Tonga and Tongaloa's younger brother, who's been in the New Japan Dojo, whose name I am forgetting right now because I didn't write it down because I'm a terrible, terrible human being. But I'm trying to look up his name now. So he's replacing him. So you have all that going down too. But it's kind of unfortunate, right? I mean, obviously he's been a big deal for them, and you want to keep him as healthy as possible, right? Because he's doing such big business for you, especially with the trilogy with Kazuchika Okada he's had this year.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, this is the biggest. I mean, not maybe the biggest, but one of the biggest three in this company, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a big deal. I think, you know, when it comes to the entire scope of wrestling, he's one of the biggest names we have this year, and maybe even last. So you've got to do your due diligence in keeping him protected. Make sure he gets the right medical care. Make sure he takes the time off that he needs to take. And just honestly, move on without him until he gets to back, you know, to the point where he can be ready and go full blow, you know. But you just hate to hear this because, like you said, Kenny Omega has done so many great things and has really produced so very well and has been, honestly, a huge moneymaker for New Japan. So I just, you know, once again, I hate to hear this, But, you know, it's honestly a life. And any kind of sport you're talking about, any kind of athletics, these things happen. They just can be freak accidents sometimes. And you just got to move on and hope that they can get back sooner than later. And I think the same way with Kenny Omega, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
Leo Tonga is Tama Tonga's brother I was trying to think of.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Well, you know, that's some injury news. I'm going to, you know, talk about some other stuff here, though, and we'll give you some positive news on one of the wrestlers. And that guy is Donovan Dijak. Yeah, that's right. We've been talking about him coming to the WWE. Well, he apparently will be going to the Performance Center and actually has already attended it. September 5th was the day he was supposed to show up there and start his training with the NXT group and really get things going. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about that, man. I cannot wait to see Donovan Dijak on NXT television.
Yeah, this is really cool. They did a big article about it on WWE.com, like they do now for most of the big name Performance Center people who are reporting. The article is a really good read if you maybe don't know who we're talking about, but if you do, it's still a great read because, you know, they do a lot to put Dijak over as this absolutely freak of nature that he is, which I mean, 6'7" and can do moonsaults. That's just ridiculous. But I'm super excited to see him on NXT, and hopefully he shows up very soon because he's been tipped to be in that ROH theme stable that they have going on now with Cole and Red Dragon. So get on my TV now, Dijak. Make it happen.
Yeah. Please. Because that force will be a tough one to reckon with, trust mm-hmm. me. Oh, man, I can't wait. I don't even know. I think Sanity would be like, okay. Who can we add? they're calling around. Do you have any guys, either big guys around here?
Can we borrow Braun?
Yeah, basically, right? So it looks like they'll have to be, maybe they'll recruit Lars. I think they should recruit Lars.
Oh, maybe so.
Good. But anyway, we've already done our NXT talk for tonight. But I'm so happy that Dijak is a part of WWE now, and it's gonna be just so much fun to see him working with that whole crew of people, and that's just immense amount of talent that NXT has right now. WWE, you know, is doing some other things, and right now one of those is sending a cease and desist order to the Young Bucks. That's right, they have finally done it. You know, we've heard the Young Bucks do the suck it thing forever now, it seems like. And I don't know why WWE picked now to do it, but they finally sent that cease and desist order for the suck it stuff because, you know, they just basically been using it free, willy-nilly, however they want to do it, and even have it on their T-shirts. That is no more. The Young Bucks have had to stop selling those T-shirts, and not only that, they got on and did a little, not on a bashing, Paul, but they kind of made some comments towards WWE on their show, The Elite. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so they took a shot on it on their YouTube show, Being The Elite, where they went to say suck it during the show, and it was bleeped out. And they've been running this thing on there where they have this WWE sort of guy leaving them random notes about bad stuff happening to them because they're doing all these things from WWE's past and... obviously, like they can't use FTR anymore. They can't use Cody's last name. They can't use this now. So it's a big deal for them. And there's been a lot of Twitter messages from them about some of their shirts not being around ProWrestlingTees.com anymore because they have Suck It on them. They can't do that anymore. So kind of sucks. No more will we get to hear Gary laugh about Nick Jackson screaming Suck It in a girlish voice.
I know, man.
It's a sad, sad day.
Well, here's the thing. I love the suck it meter. Like, I love counting how many times they, you know, is it a 5? Is it a 10? You know, where are they at on the suck it meter today? So, yeah, that is kind of a bummer. And I don't know how I feel about this, Paul, because, you know, WWE, you know, technically they kind of want to use something that, you know, was used in the past in another promotion. You know, maybe it doesn't, to me, it doesn't maybe belong to that promotion, which I'm talking about the Broken Hardy stuff. But still, I mean, they're talking about using someone else, you know, from the stuff they did back in the day in another place. I don't know. I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, come on, really. I think the Young Bucks are being themselves and doing a lot of fun stuff, but the suck it stuff is not what's really selling those T-shirts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I feel like WWE is just doing this to be petty, and I don't know why they are, but they are. And I get it. Yes, they do own the copyright and all that, but is it really hurting anything to let the Young Bucks go around saying suck it? It doesn't. It doesn't affect them at all. In fact, the only thing it does is hurt your chances of signing those guys.
I mean, maybe they're just not worried about signing them anymore. But maybe they have a DX thing coming up that they really want to make sure nobody else is using Suckit.
Well, that's great in theory, but, I mean, DX could never exist today.
Right.
Could it?
Like, maybe it's like a DVD or new shirts or something like that. You never know.
You're right. I don't think what you're saying is probably far-fetched. I mean, it very well could be the case. I just think to myself, I mean, if nothing else, the Young Bucks are promoting you.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they say suck it, people are thinking WB, DX, right? I mean, that we get sent right back to those days and over to what WB's doing. So I hate to hear this stuff because I'm thinking, just let them do it. What's the problem? I'll give you a good example, okay? And I'm going to be honest. And, Paul, you brought up a good point to me. I was on the YouTube and I searched out Wrestling to the Max and I looked up W2M. Guess what I found when I was searching out Wrestling to the Max? Sure, I found our show. I also found some other kids playing with action figures, having their own little show on YouTube called Wrestling to the Max. I did not get up in arms, and I did question. I said, hey, guys, what do you think about this? Because I was afraid that maybe one day those little kids do something nasty on there and maybe use, some racial slurs or do something that's very inappropriate that we wouldn't agree with. And the next thing you know, people are association to Wrestling to the Max says, hey, those guys are, so I just, it's something stupid, but I still put it out there. And Paul's like, what are you going to go to sue them? Are you going to shut these kids down, these 8-year-olds? And I'm like, you got a good point. I'm just scared, And I don't want to be like, hey, you guys are racist because this kid said something nasty or whatever. You know what I mean? You just never know. I sometimes have to see, those points on what the company's coming from. But I still think it's a little petty. I don't know. I'm bummed out about it, to be honest with you, Paul.
Are we still going to sue those 8-year-olds? I don't know.
Depending on what they do. If their parents are rich, we might do it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I need to find out how rich their parents are first, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, go check out those kids' shows. I'm sure they'll be very happy to see you.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, that pretty much rounds us out on Quick Hits tonight, guys. We've had some interesting ones here, and can't wait till next week to hear more big news and to see if Global Force Wrestling is still around. So I'm just kidding about that. I hope they are around. I hate to hear that. You never want people to lose their jobs and all that right. stuff. And hearing that news was a bummer too. But yeah, let's go ahead and jump into some Lucha Underground talk. We've got some big things to talk about.
Let's do it. All right, well, the sound locked up on me, so thank you very much, Spreaker. But Lucha Underground this week opens with the usual video package. We get an announcement that next week is the 100th episode, which is really cool because there are a lot of times where we're like, is Lucha still going to be around? And like, hey, they have 100 episodes. That happened really before you knew it. And that of course, will be main evented by Rey Mysterio taking on Matanza Cueto. And then we jump right into the action as Drago is taking on the Mac for one of the Aztec medallions. This is really short, goes maybe 4 minutes. Cobra Moon ends up distracting the Mac, allowing Drago to take over with some kicks and make the Mac all dizzy with the Dragon's Tail Cradle to get the victory. And I don't know. I was kind of hoping for more, but this is sort of par for the course for Lucha this season as a lot of the interference finishes. Excuse me.
Yeah, you're right, and it does kind of suck sometimes to have that. I think for storyline reasons, they're using it more and more,
mm-hmm.
Which kind of goes back to the fact that, it seems a little WWE, but, it is what it is sometimes, and I think that you can't get away from that because there are points that you need to have shorter matches or points also that you have to have a reason why a guy like Drago couldn't beat the Mac or the Mac couldn't beat Drago, vice versa. I'm okay with it for the most part, though. It didn't really take anything away from me. I do wish we'd have got a better match, but it is what it is. And hey, at least the Mac guy to look good in it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then of course, after the match, the Mac, who is super pissed off, and attacks Drago with a stunner, and this causes the rest of the Reptile Tribe to jump into the ring and lay him out. And after that, we have Dario come down to the ring, who hypes up the 100th episode next week and says that Pentagon Jr., or Pentagon Dark, excuse me, is going to face Dragon Azteca Jr. for a Aztec medallion. Plus, Johnny Mundo, Taya, PJ Black, and Ricky Mandel, Worldwide Underground, is going to face Prince Puma, and a team to be announced later, and of course, that big main event. To which Dario calls Mysterio down to the ring and tells him to leave the building because Matanza is going to be free tonight and facing the Rabbit Tribe in the main event. And Mysterio doesn't want to leave. And so Dario threatens to fire Dragon Azteca if he doesn't. And Mysterio says, you know what, next week your family legacy is going to be over. And then we're going to come for you, Dario. So big words from the Prince of Lucha Libre, or the King of Lucha Libre, as they like to call him.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, anytime Rey Mysterio gets up there and, you know, talks and does anything, it's really fun, you know, to get a chance to see him again. And I think he did a good job here. I mean, I don't know really how much I could talk about because of the fact that this is very much a Rey Mysterio thing, but I do love that at least in Lucha Underground, you feel like Rey's a little bit more serious.
Yes.
Right? He's not so, hey, I'm a superhero, come and watch me save the day. Mm-hmm. This is very serious to Rey, and I love for the fact that, you know, he says, after I take out Matanza, I'm coming for you. Mm-hmm. I love the way he does that to Cuerta, and hey, man, let's see it. I want to see it take place, so I'm excited about it, and I think they do a pretty good job here of setting everything up.
I really like this a lot, too, just because they've... From the word go with Rey Mysterio, he's been plugged into the overarching story of the entire promotion. And that's made him feel very, very different from any other time he's been presented, whether it's WCW or WWE or what have you. You know, it's very cool to see him in this light.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he's always been a piece of the puzzle, but not a piece that was really vital. I feel like this year, for sure, on Lucha Underground, this season, they've really made him a very vital part.
Absolutely. And then that brings us to the big 5-0 street fight between Cortez Castro and Joey Ryan. This is, of course, for the another Aztec medallion. And you end up having Cortez take the victory here after a big brawl on the floor and a suplex by Castro onto Ryan. And this ends up leading to a Michinoku driver on a pile of riot shields, which is really cool. The crowd was super into this, and there's a lot of cop jokes in here, too. Like, there's a lot of donuts and stuff like that flying around. They even bust out the old PWG thumb in the bum spot that becomes so famous with Jushin Thunder Liger during Bola weekends for those that are watching that promotion. But the live crowd was certainly in on it, and they really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it myself, too. I think it was kind of funny, you know, you got the coffee going down the pants, or the tights, whatever you want to say. I love that, you know. I love that they were saying, oh, he's pouring the coffee on the eggs, or something like that. Oh,
yeah.
My God. Wow.
Good old striker course, calls.
Yes. And then, of course, the taser to the balls, you know.
Of course.
It's just beautiful. And I love the reaction to it. It's the burnt hair. I can't. I'm like, oh my God. So this was a lot of goofy stuff, but so fun. Like, you know, the bear claws, like you were talking about, Paul. I love the action on the cruiser, you know, destroying the cruiser a little bit with the sledgehammer and the baseball bat. Lots of different things here. In fact, I even like the Cortez getting beat down with handcuffs in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of something I would have really never thought of. And they did that. So lots of fun stuff here. You know, I've never seen a 5-0 match before. I didn't have to go to Hawaii to see it. I'm really happy with what we got. Good stuff. I mean, honestly, if nothing else, it was entertaining. It didn't have to be a 5-star match just to entertain me. I was happy with it.
Yeah, it got time. And I think it was what it was going to be. And it brought a nice change of pace to the show, which is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to the main event as Matanza takes on the Rabbit Tribe. The Rabbit Tribe, of course, tries to do their little silly things that they love to do. And obviously, Matanza does not play games like that, and he just absolutely wrecks them. Superplex on Paul London, Wrath of the Gods on Saltador, that's all she wrote. Man, this... It kind of stinks, right? I mean, I really enjoyed the Rabbit Tribe, and for them to just sort of get fed to Matanza is a little depressing, but we haven't seen Matanza in a while. I think this was kind of necessary in the long run.
I guess so. I'm with you. I love the Rabbit Tribe. They're hilarious. They're fun. You know, they make me want to do drugs too. they just make it look so fun. I'm sorry. Like, Paul London's having the time of his life. I'm like, I want what he's doing. Probably not a good idea, though.
Probably so. Not.
I'd probably stay up for 6 days straight and more than I already lose sleep. But yeah, I mean, seriously, it sucks for that reason because you love watching those guys. But you know what? I think the Rabbit Tribe is supposed to be this like this big heel faction, but yet they kind of made him a baby face here because you know everybody in the crowd loves them. And secretly, I think it that's why they did this too. They wanted Matanza to tear down some guys, you know, kind of fan favorites in a way. Mm-hmm. So that's the best way. Cause you know, honestly, if this was the, what is it called? The reptile tribe,
snake tribe.
I don't know why I'm saying reptile, the snake tribe. If this was the snake tribe, then we'd just be like, oh, okay. You know, because it's the Rabbit Tribe, we care, at least from my point of view. I don't know if you feel
the snake tribe are your trios champions right now. So that
they are
be kind of depressing too. Especially because they have such big guys on that team, too.
I guess so. I have an affinity for the Rabbit Tribe. I'm sorry. It's something about them. But anyway, my point being is that was a bummer, but you're right. Matanza doing this means a lot. It's going to mean a lot next week, especially for the fact that he can say, I took down a whole faction. Why do you think I couldn't beat Mysterio? That's a big thing here.
Right, yeah. And I think that's probably the more important thing, because like I said, it's been a really long time since we've seen Matanza in the ring, so.
Yeah.
And then to sort of send us home, you have Prince Puma come out. He talks about next week's tag match, which of course brings Johnny Mundo out, and they start talking about all their history and their upcoming title match at Ultima Lucha 3. Johnny wants to make it a title versus career... A title versus mask match, or Mundo does, excuse me, wants a title versus mask match at Ultima Lucha. Dario comes out and says, well, we already have a mask match for that show, so that's not going to happen, but I'll make it title versus career between you two. And that seems to be all well and good as Puma accepts. And next week, we're going to get to see that that big, excuse me, 8-man tag and all that. So this is kind of interesting. Sort of the pieces being put into place since we kind of know, one, who Prince Puma is outside of the mask, and two, we know he's not going to be, how should I say, present if there is a season 4.
Yeah, and that's what you kind of started thinking, right? While you're hearing this news, you're like, yeah, he's done.
Yeah.
spoiler alert! What's going to happen? No, I mean, in all seriousness, I think they did a pretty decent job setting this up. Because you have, I mean, a guy in Prince Puma who's very confident about himself, and same with Johnny Mundo. So you've got two heads butting here, and the way they handle this situation, especially, you know, for the fact that, you know, instead of answering right away, you have to have Prince Puma take action against Johnny Mundo. All that, it works. They did a good job setting it up. I'm okay with it. I have no problem with it. I am kind of bummed I have a spoiler alert happening for myself, but I still think that they set it up well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. And this is obviously, I think you know it's going to be a really good match. Those two just cannot have a bad match. It's impossible for them. So I'm really looking forward to everything they're going to do all the way up until the very end of the season.
Very true. So we're looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to episode 100. They're going to have some
I think it's going to be really cool. Yeah.
But yeah, but until we get to that point, we are now finished with this episode of Lucha Underground, which, like I said, I fairly enjoyed it, but next week's is looking amazing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some Impact Wrestling next, which is Global Force, of course. I call it Impact still because that's what they call their show, right? Mm-hmm. And that's technically Impact. So, but yeah, I mean, let's go ahead and jump into that and get going on.
Yeah, I still don't have a theme for that, so we're just going to jump right in. And they opened the show much like Raw did this week, which was very nice, change of pace, with a match as Trevor Lee and Caleb Conley team up to take on Petey Williams and Sanjay Dutt. And this is, of course, still all the fallout around the X Division title and Petey and Caleb Conley sort of aligning with the respective champion and challenger and all that. And what you get here is a very, very, very solid, very good Very fast-paced tag team match as Petey Williams and Sanjay Dutt end up getting the win after Williams hits a Canadian Destroyer on Caleb, and then Sanjay follows up with a big splash for the win. I really enjoyed this. I thought this was a great way to kick off the show. I'm automatically intrigued. You know, it's just because it's such a different change of pace.
It is a change of pace, but, you know, I don't know how sold I am about starting a show with all these multi-men matches all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they do this way too much. Like, sometime can you just open a match with open a show with a big singles match? Like, right off the bat, give me something that you might have thought about putting in the main event, but you just said, no, I'm going to put something else in the main event. So give me that first. Get me really pumped up and excited. Then you can throw me all the six-man tags or whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, still, this is fine. This is fun. Like you said, it's lots of energy, lots of great talent in the ring. There's so many of these guys that we, you know, give props to week in and week out. Very happy about that. But, you know, I'm just being nitpicky. I just don't know if I always like them starting this show out with multi-man matches and us just sitting here saying, okay, this happened real quick. Okay, we got our winner. I want something more impactful. But this is fine, and it worked out the way it needed to.
It absolutely did, and we follow right up with another tag team match, too, as LAX takes on John Bolin and Zachary Wentz. I mentioned earlier that I didn't know who Zachary Wentz was. That's actually Desmond Xavier's tag team partner out on the indie scene in Scarlet and Graves, and I can't believe I forgot that. But LAX basically squashes them here, so I don't know if there's a whole ton to dive into.
No, but you know, once again, they want LAX to look as strong as possible, and they'll do that later as well.
Yes, absolutely. OVE shows up next and talks about how they are a real family, obviously, because they're actually brothers, and dispute that LAX is not the best tag team in GFW. They are, and they're looking ready to prove that to the world and want to beat them for the championships, and Conan calls them out on it and says, come on down to the Crash here in Tijuana, and we can prove it to everybody there, but LAX is going to beat you like two fruit roll-ups. God bless the Conan.
Beat you like two fruit roll-ups. Okay. I've never beaten a fruit roll-up up before.
I can't say that I have either, unless we're counting digestion.
Yeah, then that could be something. But okay, we'll go with it, Conan. Let's just, whatever. I thought you were better at promos.
Yeah, me too.
anyway. But yeah, I mean, this is okay. I mean, this is the one thing that, you know, we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. All this cross-promotional stuff that GFW is doing actually is kind of fun because you are not getting stuck in just one place or with one set of wrestlers, right? We're getting the opportunity of seeing multitudes of guys come in and just really mix things up. And this is cool. I'm really excited about seeing it mix things up where this is going to be at the Crash promotion and you don't have to be stuck in the same old same. And you can take a storyline somewhere else and not be stuck in a rut. So I'm okay with this. I think it's good. And OVE has been a big deal for Impact. They really worked really hard to really put them in this place. And I think this will be a really exciting time to see what they can do. But going into this, I mean, you felt like it was important. That's always a positive thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Moving on to, you have some knockout action coming up next as Allie teams up with Gail Kim to take on Sienna and Taryn Terrell. 4 minutes-ish, I would say. Allie ends up hitting a high cross body, but Sienna ends up rolling through and pinning Allie that way to get the victory for her team. And then afterwards, Sienna and Taryn Terrell end up attacking them post-match, but here comes Rosemary to make the save. And it looks like the numbers game is starting to take over, but here comes Taya Valkyrie and ends up attacking Rosemary and laying her out with an implant buster for the heels to stand tall. They start talking about Valkyrie some, too, which is a... I don't know. They start talking about how sort of Valkyrie is already in line now for a Knockouts title match, something like that, which I guess you knew was coming, right? But... I don't know, this kind of, I don't want to say put me off, because I'm a big fan of Taya and all that, but it just didn't really sit right to already be throwing her into this feud instead of just making her debut feel like a big deal on its own and having her come in that way.
It sounds like it mixes up with this whole Jim Cornette stuff we're going to talk about later, right? Where he's like, oh, hey, Johnny Impact, you sell tickets other places. You want a championship match?
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, you can bring your girlfriend. She'll get a match too with her own title shot. Come on. That's what it feels like here. Or fiance. They're not girlfriend and boyfriend. Remember, Paul, they are fiancés.
They are engaged. That's true.
So, sorry, Paul. But I'm just joking. I don't know if you like her or not. But anyway, moving on to this whole division being, I don't know. That's my biggest thing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because they do have some talent here. You've got to appreciate Rosemary and Allie. And, of course, you know, Go Kim's involved. And they're doing fine for their side of the fence. And then you got Sienna, who I'm not as sold on what it is. And Taryn Terrell kind of came back from being a super Christian. And I guess she's not that anymore. I don't know. And then, of course, you know, now you've got Taya involved. And that's cool. But I'm with you on the whole, hey, you want a championship? Let's wait on that. Come on, let's not do that so fast. Let's make us care about who she is, what she's about, right? And they haven't done that yet. So I'm a little lost on this division overall. I mean, I really am, Paul. I'm clueless. I don't know what I should care about. I know who I'm supposed to care about, but do I really care? I think it's kind of funny is it seems to me Allie's kind of a big baby face, but we've kind of gotten away from really caring why she's a big baby face. And not only that, Rosemary seems to be getting more traction as a baby face than her.
And that's fair, because I think once you had Maria leave, a lot of the heat that was on Allie kind of evaporated pretty quickly just because there's no way for her to really get comeuppance anymore. Especially since they sort of shouldered Laurel Van Ness into this thing they have going with Grado, and Sienna became the focus with all the other mess she had surrounding her, like Kongo Kong and KM. And I don't know. It's a very messy picture, and it's especially messy because now they're trying to shoulder in Gail Kim's one last run before she retires at the end of this year, and then you have Taryn Terrell show up, and now this, and it's so in flux, I don't think you really know what to grab onto but Rosemary, because she's been here the entire time.
It's just so weird to say. I mean, because she, you know, was the heel for so long, and all of a sudden now it's supposed to be something that, you know, you're hanging on to because, well, she's the most likable, I guess, in a way, because you root for her, because she's this, you know, I guess you'd say a monster, but on the other hand, really cool. And that's the cool factor that we're hanging on to. So, I don't know. We'll see what this Knockouts division goes. I just, right now, I don't know how I should even feel about them.
Yeah, that's very fair. We get a pre-tape promo from Eli Drake about his title match tonight against Matt Sydal. And then we get to see Jim Cornette show up, and he sort of puts over the title match and GFW and all that before Johnny Impact shows up and wants the winner of Eli Drake and Matt Sydal, and is just really looking forward to wrestling either man, whoever wins. This brings out LAX with Low-Key sort of leading the charge, and Conan starts running down Impact Wrestling and GFW, and Johnny Impact, of course, is still the Triple Crown Championship holder for AAA right now, holding all their singles titles, and calls out White Privilege, which immediately put me off of this, because I get enough of this on the news, and Cornette starts going off on them, and it's just sort of screaming back and forth, and Conan finally says, you know what, Impact, this isn't WWE or Lucha Underground, this is where, you know, real fighting happens, essentially, and this leads to a big brawl, and it looks like we're building up to a match between Johnny Impact and Low-Key.
Yeah, I mean, it should be fine. You know, that's, you know, a pretty decent matchup. But yeah, I'm with you a little bit on this whole promo thing because of the fact that, you know, they do bring up the White Privilege stuff, and that's not the first time we've heard it from Conan, right? I mean, this is something they kind of continue on. Basically, this is the basis of their entire faction, is we're going to take over the world with the Latinos because we don't like what everybody else is doing, and we feel like we're always being put down. So it does kind of turn you off a little bit because it is something that's in our society right now that we have to hear about all the time, nonstop. So, yeah, I get that, but to me, it does kind of make sense for what they're doing, and it's a good heel move for sure. So, it is what it is. I think, you know, they did a pretty decent job with the promo here, getting everybody set up for that big match between, you know, the two. And I'm okay with it for the most part. I really am. Just don't know, you know, what we're going to get post this. But, you know, it's decent.
It is decent. I watch wrestling to get away from having to hear about politics, though. I don't like it being immediately shoved back into my face. So,
and I get that. And here's the thing. And I didn't like even them using WWE or Lucha Underground.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I start to think to myself, you know what? I used to complain all the time that WWE never mentioned anybody else. I said, how idiotic could they be? They could at least say this guy is from, you know, Impact Wrestling, or this guy, you know, went from Ring of Honor to here. That doesn't happen. In fact, most of the time, they don't mention other promotions. Very few, unless it's New Japan now. Really, honestly, they've been mentioning New Japan more to WWE than anything else, mm-hmm. Because of Nakamura and people. But I feel a little dirty now. Like, I'm like, you guys shouldn't even mention WWE. You shouldn't talk about Lucha Underground. Worry about yourselves.
Yes.
And so it kind of turned me off with that, too. So there is a couple of things here that I really didn't like. But once again, I get it. They're trying to talk big, bad, and tough, and that's the best way to get some cheap heat.
Absolutely. So we get another segment for the Laurel Van Ness and Grado situation that's going on. Joseph Park tells Grado, you know, since she's Canadian now, you have to break up with her. So they meet, and Grado calls off the wedding. This sends Laurel Van Ness over the edge, and Grado tries to patch things up with a high five, which really made me laugh after the big freak out that Laurel Van Ness had. So,
you know, there's a couple of things that I question with this, and it's probably shouldn't be questioning it. But one thing, when, you know, he's breaking up with her, I mean, this was all about just being an American, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think to myself, I mean, come on. I mean, is it that really easy for you to do? I mean, I would be way more nervous than this. And Grado just seems to be like, okay, whatever, I'll just do it. You know, here you go. We got to break up, right? And I thought that was kind of funny. I kind of wish you'd have stumbled more and maybe said the wrong things and let her on a little longer. What I'm saying is I kind of wish that they would have made this another streak of Grado bumbling, tumbling, and being stupid, mm-hmm. and screwing up the breakup. I think it'd been funnier. I think it'd been better. Maybe that's not the timetable they're looking at. But now that they've got to this point so quickly, and you saw her reaction, like she's Carrie or something like that. Now I'm kind of done with it,
mm-hmm.
and the reason I'm done with it is because I know what's happening next. Grado's going to get killed until he finally has his big match, and then he'll win later. So,
I mean, they still have to find a way to keep him in the country if that's going to happen, because he's already supposed to be gone, which is kind of why this didn't make a ton of sense for me, but I
well, you know, they made it out like the big bad guy, you know, is sending him away or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, come on, just find something else. Let's not make all that stuff in there. I just think if he's having such a problem, as long as he's been in the country, he probably could have filed paperwork and all that kind of stuff. I mean, for God's sakes, Joseph Park, do your job. You're a lawyer. File the appropriate paperwork. Do all that kind of stuff instead of sending him on a mission to get, you know, dating, speed dating. Come on, guy. Yeah, maybe look into a better lawyer, Grado.
That's not what lawyers do. They don't hook you up on speed dating?
It'd be awesome if they did, probably, because they'd tell you who's got the, you know, the best chance of getting you some alimony. So. Just saying, you know, maybe they could hook you up, you know.
You're not wrong.
You can marry her because she's got a decent bank account, and I can get you the money once you divorce her.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, stay with her a couple of weeks, and you can get done. But no, I mean, this is going to be fun, too, to see, to an extent, where they go from this. But then again, I'm looking at myself to saying, okay, this is going to involve Kongo Kong or somebody else, and I'm going to start hating this, and it's going to be boring, and I'm not going to want to talk about it anymore. So it is what it is. But I mean, I wonder, is in real life, is she from Canada?
Laurel Van Ness is Canadian. Yes.
Okay. See, I didn't know that. So there you go. It's truth. It's not a lie.
Right. We move on to a whole bunch of highlight packages here. So we get a lot of stuff from GFW people at Triple Mania. They show off Johnny Impact's match at Triple Mania as well, as some interaction with Jeff Jarrett. They even cover the Rosemary and Sexy Star stuff, which I thought was kind of weird, but I guess you need to know going forward that Rosemary does have an injury, and we don't know how long she's going to be out. Excuse me. And then we get to see Jarrett and others arguing with Vampiro about it, and then Jarrett very quickly cuts to a segment where he talks about how the relationship with AAA is stronger than ever. And then there's this angle he's shooting with LaParte. I don't know. This was very, very odd for me. And then we get to see a Desmond Xavier video package. Pagano is coming. We get to see Eddie Edwards winning the NOAH GHC Championship, which I thought was pretty cool. And then we get a Garza Jr. video package. And finally, we get to some stuff that's actually happening on the show, where you get to see Dick Justice backstage warming up, just in case he's needed.
That was my favorite part.
Yeah.
The Triple Mania stuff was neat and all that, and of course, you know, the Garza Jr. stuff. Good, I'm glad to hear that, but Dick Justice, oh my God, you were amazing. Always ready to go. I mean, there's nobody better to follow. I mean, you thought John Cena's never give up thing wasn't good, was amazing. Think about how great he is. He's always ready.
He is always ready, just in case you need him.
Yeah, so I'll be remembering that, just in case I do need him. I could just imagine. Go, don't you wish you had someone like that in your life? You're like, look, I am too, you know, tired. I don't want to go do this. Hey, Dick, go do it. Oh, I'm ready. Let's go.
And you're in, buddy.
Yeah. I wish I had a Dick Justice in my life, right? I mean, if only we all had a Dick in our life, then, you know, it would be okay, you know? But sometimes you don't have a Dick to hang out with.
So. Sometimes anyway. You don't.
It's kind of like, you know, the, you know, Almond Joy, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you got a dick, sometimes you don't. So, anyway, enough of Justice talk.
Oh, my God.
tuned out the episode.
Where can we fast forward through all the dick jokes? Well, here we go, guys.
Eli, I can't wait till Sean hears this. I'm sorry.
I can't wait either. Oh, God. Eli Drake takes on Matt Sydal for the Global Force Wrestling Championship in the main event. This goes almost 20 minutes, which I don't know if Eli Drake should be wrestling 20 minutes, but he does. This is actually pretty decent for what it's worth. Drake does end up winning with the air raid crash after Chris Adonis gets involved, which allows Drake to hit Matt Sydal with the championship before he finishes him off. I understand Matt Sydal is being treated like a very, very big deal in all this. I don't know if it's entirely necessary to protect him. I see why they would want to. But for me, it seems a bit like a detriment to Eli Drake, because it's that same old pattern with heel champions in TNA / Impact Wrestling / Global Force Wrestling, where they just can never win clean, and you can never really establish them as a credible threat outside of all the shenanigans.
You're not wrong at all on that, and I totally agree, and it really bothers me for many reasons. Mm-hmm. I look at Eli Drake, and yes, he is not the most proficient wrestler on that roster. I mean, we could probably name 15 guys that probably could be honestly do that way better than he did. But there's not a lot of those same wrestlers that have the charisma that Eli Drake has.
Right.
I think Eli Drake is the one guy that if, let's just say, I'm not saying they want him, but if WWE wanted him, he could walk in to SmackDown Live, and I would actually believe he belonged. I really could see that. You see what I'm saying? Because he could get on the microphone and he could do just as good of a job as anybody else on the SmackDown Live roster, I feel like. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys I could see differently when it comes to, you know, maybe Matt Sydal going back to WWE and doing him. Like, is that so believable? I don't know. So Eli Drake, he oozes that charisma despite the fact that he doesn't have as many abilities and skills as some of these other guys. And I say that as them really putting them putting the title on him to mean something, but they're not making it mean something by basically doing what you're saying, Paul, cheating and all that stuff. I mean, come on, just give him the opportunity to be a guy that really exudes being a good champion, even though he's the bad guy. Just give us that once, right? I mean, Bobby Lashley was perfect at it. I think they did a pretty good job of having him, and it meant something. I just think Eli Drake deserves that, even if it's not a long run. Give him that opportunity. I don't know why they don't want to. I get it. He's a sleazy guy, but come on. You want Matt Sydal to come out of this looking just as good, right? And I feel like Matt Sydal doesn't come out looking good because of the fact that Eli doesn't look good.
I think that's fair. You know, for me, like, there's too many bad memories, like with Bobby Roode's championship run, or Magnus's championship run was marred by a lot of the same problems. And you're right, Lashley is sort of the exception to the rule, but that's because he's already they treated him like this big, massive guy, and they let him carry on that situation for a very long time. So, definitely appreciated that. I mean, even some of EC3's stuff was very chintzy and interference-y whenever he was champion as a heel. So it's I really, really want them to do right by somebody. And even if it's Eli Drake, who at times I go hot and cold on at various points in times. But this is a guy that you've built and that you seemingly want to go all in with. Just do it. It's not hard. I understand maybe you have to sacrifice Matt Sydal a little bit, but it's not like you can't have him go back to the X Division and just start racking up wins again to rebuild him, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the truth. And, you know, I want to continue following this and seeing if they will eventually get to that point with Eli Drake, but I have a feeling they won't. Yeah. And I kind of look at this as a situation that it could be handled so much better for all parties. I worry about even just kind of, you know, screwing this up and then expecting someone else to pop in and take that similar role and run with it. Because really, when you're not letting Eli Drake do something, that means that you're not allowing some of these other guys probably to do things that they could extremely do well, way more for you. So I don't know. I think this match itself was good, though. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I think that they put on a good match. I think, you know, what we're talking about here doesn't even involve the match, but still, I was appreciative of what they did tonight, and I hope for better days when it comes to, you know, letting Eli just do things clean. Let's just make that happen. We need to do that hashtag, right? You know, you do all those hashtag give Divas a chance. Well, hashtag give Eli a chance.
Hashtag, you know? Eli wins clean.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I need to
start doing
let's
that.
Let's do it.
Hey, heck, Anthony would probably appreciate someone's hashtagging for him. So. I should stay away from that, right?
Probably. That's Impact Wrestling for the week.
Yeah, I just saw the Impact fans are like, F you. Hashtag F Gary. So,
anyway. Hashtag jick jokes. We got them, folks.
Yeah, plenty of them.
We got.
Although we won't be selling t-shirts because we got our cease and desist already.
So. We did, yeah.
Sadly.
They act quick.
Yeah, they really, really do. All right, well, we are done with this part of the show. That means that we have one last thing to do, and that is crown a superstar of the week, guys. And I'm really excited about doing it, so we'll be right back with that right after this.
Superstar of the week.
All right. Take it away, Gary.
All right, so we have got some contenders here and some people that deserve some points, so we are going to give it to you right now. John Cena got 1 point from us this week, Paul.
Absolutely. Great opening match with Jason Jordan on Raw this week that I greatly enjoyed, and then the promo afterwards with Roman Reigns was still maybe the same stuff we maybe got on the last week, but it was still pretty good, and that's worth a point.
No, I definitely agree. You know, and you know, they kept pointing back to, you know, Kurt Angle and John Cena back in the day when, you know, it was about John Cena, the young up and comer. I love the parallel there, and I think that they gave Jason Jordan a lot of props in that match, but Cena did a pretty darn good job helping him along and of course doing that promo. So you're right. We're gonna give 2 points over to Cassius Ohno for his big victory against the Tommy.
Absolutely. And what a great match that was, right? No DQ main event on NXT this week. Absolutely worth people's time to go track down. Maybe one of the best matches we've gotten to watch this week.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And, you know, it could have got more points, but once again, I mean, this wasn't really for a title or anything, but at the same point, great match. I'm really happy about it. We got 3 points moving over to Eli Drake.
Absolutely. Eli Drake retains his Global Force Championship or Global Force Wrestling Global title, against Matt Sydal this week in the main event of Impact Wrestling. Maybe a little too long for my taste, but still pretty darn good.
Yeah, I just think it had some really positives coming out of it, so I thought it had to be at this point. You know, I really could have maybe talked, you know, to Paul a little longer about it. We may have lowered it, but I think 3 points is pretty good for a match that involved a title. And not only that, they were pretty consistent. So Let's go ahead and talk about the guy that got 4 points, and that man is The Miz.
What a great title match he had on Raw this week. I really enjoyed that Intercontinental Championship match with Jeff Hardy, all the shenanigans included. Even though he technically won by cheating, it still looked pretty darn concise, and I think Jeff equally pulled his part in there as well.
I agree. And, you know, anytime that you get The Miz and Jeff Hardy in the same ring, you know you're in for some good stuff. So I was really, really happy with that. 5 points, and the guy that is crowned the Superstar of the Week is Nakamura.
Yeah, Shinsuke Nakamura had a probably the best match on TV this week with Randy Orton. Both guys look motivated. They look interested, which is more than you could definitely more than say that this is the first time you could say that for Randy Orton this year. Shinsuke has had a few opportunities to look interested, and he really hasn't. And this was another great time to see how great both these guys are. And Shinsuke ends up winning that number one contendership for Hell in a Cell as well against Jinder Mahal for the WWE World title. So all good things happening over there on the Blue brand as far as that main event's concerned.
Definitely. And, you know, there were some fears coming out of this for me. I was really worried that, you know, we were going to have some way, somehow, Randy Orton win with the RKO and then just make some excuses for Nakamura or something like that. And the way this all rounded out and ended up being, I walked away pretty darn happy. And I think they gave us, like Paul just alluded to, the Nakamura we want to see. And he wasn't even hitting the pedal to the metal in that match. So that's the great thing. We got so much more in store from him. And, you know, if I could give half a point or something to Randy Orton for, you know, his involvement in helping this go along the way it did, I would. So, all right. Well, there you go. Nakamura, you are our Superstar of the Week. Congratulations. Until, you know, next time we'll do it, we'll hopefully have some other contenders that really excite us and make us happy enough to put them on the list. Well, we are done with the show tonight. Once again, want to thank 411mania.com and lastwordonprowrestling.com. Both are amazing supporters of ours, as well as w2mnet.com, where you can go find all of our great content. Make sure you go check it out. Of course, you can get all our great review shows, Raw, SmackDown Live, 205 Live, and NXT, along with these episodes of Wrestling to the Max coming to you twice a week, Tuesday morning and, of course, Friday morning on the download. And, you know, also go check out all the other great stuff we have over there at w2mnet.com. You know, maybe you want to go check out Harry and Patrick over at Wrestling Unwrapped. Maybe you want to go check out that Mae Young Classic review that Paul, Harry, and Patrick have been doing. That's amazing, and I can't wait to hear it. Go check that out, plus all our other great shows that are available on that network. So much great stuff. Video games, wrestling, sports, football, you know, just so much. Even entertainment. If you guys love watching TV and movies, hey, go check out WCNO.com. Lots of great content for that as well. So besides that, I think that pretty much wraps up all the cheap plugs, all the stuff that we are really honestly excited about. But yeah, I mentioned the Mae Young Classic stuff, Paul. I hope people go check that out and, you know, all the other great content we've been putting out there. Besides that, we are done with this show. And once again, thank you to all who've, you know, of course, let us know what you think. And we want you to go do it again. Once again, we thank you. Sorry about not having Sean tonight. And once again, he is dealing with this hurricane situation with Irma and has had to, you know, take the night off. But, you know, maybe next time he's not on the show, maybe we will get Dick Justice on here. He should have been ready tonight. I just lost his phone number. My fault.
Dang it, you know? Gary.
I know. But next time we'll get a little more Dick in the show and we'll be happy. So anyway, enough of the jokes, guys. We are going to be out of here. I am Gary Vaughn. He is Paul Leeser. We'll catch you guys down the road.
Have a good night, everybody. We'll be right back.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.